T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, ripped from the headlines doesn't do it justice. We have a book just out today. More importantly, Joseph Laughlin, who is former assistant to the chief of police in Portland, Maine. And whoever came up with the title, if it was Joe or somebody else, Shots Fired. You can't beat it. And I'm looking at the chapters. Why not use less than lethal force? The real world of use of force training. What hands up can really mean. Stopping the threat. What would you have me do? Suicide by cop. Why did you have to kill him? The things that people believe. I don't see in here, but it is in here. Why not just shoot him in the leg? You know, Annie Oakley, that sort of thing. Joseph Laughlin, former assistant chief of police in Portland, Maine, joins us here on The Dom Show. Joseph, welcome to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, good morning. Thank you.
Well, I come from a cop's family too, Joe. Dad, sisters, others, some are prosecutors. How did I go wrong and end up here? But you are the real deal. You've been through this. Why this book at this point? What triggered you, Joe, to write this?
Well, I'll give you a little history. I first started out writing a book when I retired called No Reason. And it was a compilation of police stories, everything from politics to homicide to the routine. And I had a chapter on deadly force. And essentially, you can't make any rhyme or reason out of what you experience on a day-to-day basis. And I'd like to start off by saying that cops function in a world that goes far beyond the realm of normal experiences or conventional reality on any given day. What they see, hear, or do in one shift alone, I don't think a lot of people experience in their entire lives.
Mm-hmm. Thank God, I would add, yes.
Yeah, thank God. The book morphed just after the Ferguson incident, which convulsed the nation into, I don't know, a lot of misinformation and, in my view, a lot of craziness. And the pernicious and pervasive rhetoric that occurred nationwide really derailed, I think, our society on so many levels. So I was inspired to write about deadly force incidences, and I started interviewing police officers up and down the East Coast. It begins in my city. It ends with the Watertown shootout with the Boston Bombers. And I go down to Miami and all over the place. So
good.
I'm trying to present the reality of the human dynamics.
Well, let's talk about this. The biggest issue I see here, and Joe, I don't know if you follow this, but a couple of states, maybe more, are now saying that, for example, kids would be taught in driver's ed how to interact with the police during a car stop. I'm looking at one of your chapters, what a hands up can really mean. A large number of these shootings, maybe the lion's share of some of them, they deal with noncompliance. And people may think they're complying or they refuse to comply or whatever. Do you share that's what drives a lot of this?
Well, in some of the incidents, most of these incidents happen on routine calls for service, whether it's a domestic,
right,
a party, a noise complaint, and that's illustrated throughout the book. You know, everybody has the proverbial traffic stop image in their mind, and yes, those are unpredictable events, and that's where you see a lot of the videos, but there are a lot of other interactions that happen. But absolutely, I think we need to get back to educating our society about the realities of police work, and starting with kids and education with children in regard to, hey, you know, cops are human just like you and I. They have a job to do, and, you know, we need to get better frames of reference and better understanding. So the answer to your question is driver's ed. It's a good idea. You don't want to place fear into everybody, but cooperating, listening. If you do have a complaint, that is not the time to air that. It's later on. You can get a supervisor.
That's exactly right. Joe, let me take you to another chapter here. Why not use less lethal force? Some police departments are tasing. Some, you know, I guess there's bean bags and all other kinds of things. So that question comes up a lot in the form of, and maybe there's too much TV, why not just shoot him in the leg?
You just nailed it. People are trained and educated by TV, the movies, and Hollywood. Real life is not, it doesn't follow a script. There's no pithy dialogue and an exchange and then a gunfight. These things happen so quick. Less lethal means of taking people into custody. And think about this. There are 34,000 to 35,000 arrests a day in this country. And most of them go pretty smoothly. There's a lot of violent people that we deal with. Less lethal means are used on a daily basis. Tasers, beanbag rounds, pepper mace, batons, hands-on. And so the notion that the cops are using deadly force to, you know, an extreme degree is not true. When you look at the numbers and all of the research and examine the information, it paints a very, very different picture. So your other question is shooting someone in the leg or the hand. It doesn't work. It doesn't defy the laws of physics or wound ballistics or reality. A moving target, a twisting, turning, violent human being doesn't, again, stand there like a silhouette and present itself. Again, these things are so quick. The average time of a shooting is 3 seconds, and it's over. And that's illustrated in the book. And so these things are imminent. They're happening now. Yes, there are horrible mistakes. Yes, there are bad cops out there. We know that. I work with some of them. We don't want them around either. But by and large, the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of cops out there are trying to do good and avoid deadly force at all costs because of the, you know, the fallout. Right.
Sure, absolutely. And, Joe, you mentioned something else. People, again, it's TV, movies or whatever. They just want the world to be good. Even someone that could be relatively small, subduing them if they're resisting arrest. These things are not easy. They, you know, a person could be high on drugs or whatever. Getting someone handcuffed and all that, unless there's two cops on the scene, that is not an easy thing to do.
It is not, and often looks ugly. And people are picking up pieces of information or parts of the video. But I've seen a guy, you know, 100 times, thousands of times, 5'6", you know, throw 3 or 4 cops around. People may be trained in martial arts. They may be veterans. They're under the influence of drugs, rage, alcohol. That's what we deal with all the time. And again, we make a lot of arrests with violent people, on a daily basis and take people into custody safely, often and frequently at the time of our own peril.
Yeah, absolutely right. Joe, tell us, what other myth do you think in the book, you go into this stuff extensively, that you think people ought to know, that you've seen through training and all the people you've interviewed, that is still out there that people don't understand?
Well, there's dozens of them, and you hit a couple of them. You know, the first is, I guess I'd start with an unarmed person. Unarmed person has a different meaning to police officers because we witness incredible, powerful acts by people that are unarmed. Hands, feet, elbows, knees, headbutts, they kill. Every year in this country, 3,000 plus people are killed by unarmed people, whether they're strangled or beaten to death or stomped to death or kicked to death. The same thing happens to police
officers.
Okay,
now let me interrupt you, Joe, here and tell you. And again, remember, I come from a cop's family. You know what they say, though, and they said this in the case of Michael Brown. Well, Darrell Wilson ought to be able to subdue a big guy who may or may not have been high. And Michael Brown, if you cops can't do that without shooting people, what the hell has happened to your training?
We do that all the time. Mm-hmm. But we've got to remember, I mean, the Michael Brown case, that's like a 10-hour discussion. You know, that was reviewed by multiple medical, you know the details on that.
Sure.
The man was in the car pounding on the police officer's, you know, face and chest, and it was a whole different story. The hands up, don't shoot, never happened. And again, these situations do not defy physics, wound ballistics, or sometimes they do defy logic. But in general terms, it doesn't work like TV. It doesn't work like the movies. And it's impossible when you're under imminent death or disfigurement, which happens, by the way, to a lot of police officers, thousands of them every year. You have to take action. And you've got to look at it through the lens of the officer at the time. Courts have ruled that and how they evaluate and get through the circumstances, all under the parameters of state, federal law, policies.
Right. That's exactly right. In other words, you have a right to go home, too. You don't have to fight to the death every day with someone who might kill you or disfigure you or commit serious bodily harm on you. And in many instances, I'm surprised that the police act with the restraint that they do, given the provocation.
There's a lot of restraint out there. I lived it. De-escalation is a popular term right now. We've been de-escalating matters. That's one of the very first things you learn. The semantics of it were different. You know, let's calm people down, deal with the situation. Because cops, you go hands-on with someone, or you get up close and personal, you're probably going to get injured. Broken fingers, kicked,
right,
and scratched,
exactly.
All those things happen. And there are 60,000 assaults on police officers plus every year, and that's only 66% of what's reported. And again, there's thousands and thousands of officers that have been shot, stabbed, bricks in the face, bleach in the face, cinder blocks in the head. You never hear about that, and there's plenty of officers out there that are disabled for life. And I have dozens of examples
throughout the book.
No one hears about it.
Exactly.
Well, throughout the book with some statistics.
This is for people that sort of know this stuff. This is something to bolster them. For those that don't, it's a heck of a read. It's encyclopedic, Joe, to me. The book, Shots Fired, I assume is available all over the place?
It is. It's in local bookstores on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and right here in Philadelphia.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for joining us today.
Paul, thank you for the time. I hope I didn't talk too much.
No.
Pretty passionate about it.
I'm glad you were, Joe. Thank you. Thanks for joining us in Philadelphia today.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.